find your way to the book of Daniel, Daniel chapter 5. You can look in Daniel 5 and we'll probably flip over to Daniel 6. This is a place where we pray. It's a place where we meet the Lord. And we have as much time and we take as much time in that. And so those that do it, they do it. They don't bother me and I'm not going to bother them. And we all need to understand that, okay? Many of us understand what's going on in the book of Daniel. This man by the name of Daniel, he was a Hebrew boy. He was carried 800 miles as Israel, Jerusalem, was besieged by the Babylonian Empire. Daniel, they took the greatest minds, the most talented people out of Jerusalem, of the Hebrews, and they carried them 800 or so miles away from Jerusalem to Babylon. That's where they were, and they were to serve there. Daniel was a man of great integrity. He was a man of great knowledge. He was a man of great wisdom. He loved God with all of his heart. Daniel worked in the kingdom and in the administration of King Nebuchadnezzar. Nebuchadnezzar treated Daniel well, and many of you know a good bit about the story, but God used Daniel's life in this administration of the king to interpret dreams and to do many other things as well as he was there. But as the years passed, Nebuchadnezzar passed off the scene. He died. And as we come into chapter 5, we are finding a king by the name of Belshazzar. This is Nebuchadnezzar's son. It's in his bloodline. He is now in charge of the kingdom. He is the king. This Belshazzar, this was a wicked, godless man. He knew not the King of all kings, the living God of heaven. He was a man who rebelled against everything that God and his people stood for. He sinned against God on a regular basis. He was the man who defiled, if you remember, the vessels from the temple of God that were stolen by the Babylonians out of Jerusalem from the temple, took it and defiled it, did disrespect against it, to which the wrath of God was kindled against him. And therefore, one night while he was throwing a banquet, he and all of those that were with him were sloppy, filthy, drunken messes. All of a sudden, while they were in this time, there was the picture of a man's hand that appeared, just the hand. And the fingers, plural, the Bible says, writing on the wall a message by which nobody could understand. That hand was none other than the hand of God Himself. You need to understand today that if you are going to live a vile, godless life, there will come a day when the hand of God and His judgment is going to appear in your life. And that's what we're seeing transpire here with Belshazzar, the king. Everybody with him was very, very troubled because they didn't know what the message was. They didn't know what was going on. It was during this period that whom I'm calling the queen mother, this would have been Belshazzar's grandmother. She gets news of what is going on, what has happened, and that there is a message that has been written, and she makes her way to the banquet hall, knowing that no one could interpret it. No one knew what it was. And she begins to inform this Belshazzar about a man named Daniel. Says, this man Daniel has been used through the years. Your father, your grandfather, Nebuchadnezzar, the Bible calls it his father. Nebuchadnezzar was impacted greatly by the ministry and the life of Daniel. She began to tell Belshazzar that Daniel was a man of integrity, of knowledge, and of wisdom. And then she said these words in chapter 5 and verse number 12 of Daniel, for as much as an excellent spirit. Underline that in your Bible. Daniel 5 and verse number 12, for as much as an excellent spirit. King Belshazzar then, taking the words of the queen mother, summoned Daniel to the banquet. Sure enough, Daniel arrived. And after having a conversation, as you go through the fifth chapter, after Daniel having a conversation with Belshazzar the king and those around him, Daniel does interpret what the writing on the wall is, but it was not a good message. It was a message of judgment. God was about to pour out his judgment upon Belshazzar and upon the great Babylonian Empire. While this whole banquet was going on, what they didn't know was under the blanket of night, the Medes and the Persians had breached the waterway of the great Babylonian city and had made their way, in some cases even in plain clothes, and they infiltrated the city. And Babylon that night was overrun and overtaken by the Medes and the Persians, who had made an alliance together. And King Belshazzar was killed that night as a result of his rebellion against God. As you come into chapter number 6, you see that there was a man named Darius. He was a man who was of the Medes. He then took over the throne in what was Babylon. He is now the king. And as we open chapter number 6, we read these words. The Bible says, "It pleased Darius to set over the kingdom 120 princes, which should be over the whole kingdom," verse number 2. "And over these 3 presidents," here it is, "of whom Daniel was first." He was the chief of them all, "of whom Daniel was first, that the princes might give account unto them, and that the king should have no damage." Verse 3 says, "Then this Daniel was preferred above the presidents and the princes, because what? An excellent spirit was in him, and the king thought to set him over the whole realm." Now, I want to draw your attention back again. I encourage you to underscore the words in Daniel chapter 5 and verse number 12, "for as much as an excellent spirit." And then when we come to chapter 6 and verse number 3, it tells us here, "because an excellent spirit was in him." Don't miss those words, "an excellent spirit." I come to you this morning, ladies and gentlemen, and I have tried twice now to preach a message that I prepared some weeks ago. God will not allow it. On Friday, the Lord began redirecting my path. I'd gotten all my work done by Thursday night. I was planning to take Friday off. God began to redirect my path. He seared this thought in my soul that you and I need to get a hold of when it comes to the spirit of we as believers, by movement of the Spirit of God in our lives. This word "spirit" that is given to us right here, it actually speaks of a mind or a mindset. Its root word actually points even to the wind, and it gives the New Testament idea, get this, of the breath of God. In other words, this word "spirit" that we are given right here, the spirit or the breath of God, was upon this young man Daniel's life. And it affected his mind. It affected his overall presentation of life. The breath of God and the Spirit of God will do that to you. It will affect your presentation. It will affect your mindset of life. The wind, the breath of God, when it blows in, will change some things in our lives. It really will. Can you say today with all confidence that the breath of God, the Spirit of God, is resting upon your mind, and thus it is affecting every bit of the presentation of your life? Can you say that? The way that everybody else could say it of this man Daniel. I want to speak to you for a few moments this morning around this theme and this thought. Simply an excellent spirit. An excellent spirit. In his book On the Successful Journey, John Maxwell said these words, "A dream without a positive attitude produces a daydream. A positive attitude without a dream, it produces a pleasant person who cannot progress. A dream together, however, with a positive attitude produces a person with unlimited potential." Could it be this morning that the reason you and I are getting no more done for God. And the reason you and I are not reaching our highest potential in life that God has for you and I to have as we woke up out of His goodness this morning, as we woke up, could it be that the reason for that is because we live our lives so much in the gutter of despair? Constantly in a situation of being in despair over this issue or that issue of life, and as a result, our spirits are so affected by it that our usability for the Lord is hindered. As a matter of fact, in many cases, we are even rendered helpless to the things of God. Can you imagine where Babylon would have been? Can you imagine where Israel would have been had Daniel been a man who allowed his spirit to be overcome with all the stress and all the pressures of life? For this man dealt with some of those things. The whole nation of Israel would have been in deep trouble. As of a matter of fact, as you read and you study the story, you will learn as well that the entire nation of Babylon would have been in trouble. And as a result, the entire world, the Babylon Empire that ruled it, would have been in trouble. As this past week developed, and I came into Friday, this thought of an excellent spirit, as I read this passage some weeks ago, continued to grow and build in my life, because an excellent spirit is the one thing that is standing in the way of you and I doing what we need to do for the Lord and get done for God, this excellent spirit. I look at the life of Daniel and I see three things here having to do with this excellent spirit: the manifestation of it and the maintenance of it that Daniel had. And I want to share them with you today. I encourage you to write them down because they have challenged my heart and they have helped me as I have lived this past week. The first thing I want you to write down about this excellent spirit is this. Friends, it was cultivated through trials. In Daniel's life, his excellent spirit was cultivated through trials. Can I remind you again and take you back to the first chapter of the book of Daniel? And as we study and consider this young man's life, we need to understand that he was ripped from his home in Jerusalem, the only place he had ever known. He was a young man at this point, probably just in his upper teens. He was taken to a pagan land, a land that knew not God, a land that had no respect for the living God, the God that he loved, the God that he grew up knowing and was taught of, and the God that he worshiped. He was taken to a land just like that, that had no respect for God. Can you imagine being in a land where nobody had any respect for God whatsoever? None whatsoever. He couldn't come to a church like this on a Sunday and be able to have some people who could at least somewhat identify with him. He had nothing at all. He was in a land of wickedness and a land of paganism. He was taken to this land where he was insulted on a regular basis. He was taken to this land where he was tempted. He could have done anything that he wanted to do. Nobody back home would have ever known about it. He was a man who faced great, great temptation. He was cultivated through trials. If you continue to follow the study of his life and you learn some things in the first chapter, you'll learn that in this different culture, he was tempted. He was even given, the Bible says, the king's meat. But the scripture says that Daniel would not defile himself with a portion of the king's meat. He was not for sale. He said it doesn't matter what the king wants. It doesn't matter what everybody in his administration wants. It doesn't matter what you may want around me. I have decided many years ago as a boy, I'm going to serve God. And though the pressure is on right now, though the trial is on, I'm going to let God cultivate my spirit through this trial that I am faced with. He would have been among the Hebrews that would not have been in favor of bowing and worshiping the golden image. You are familiar with that story. And then as he continued to grow older, as God kept using his life because of the excellent spirit that he had that was cultivated through all of these trials, as you come into the sixth chapter, Daniel chapter 6, you learn that Darius is now upon the throne of what was the Babylonian Empire. The pressure came and how that he was to not worship. And as you go into that, you learn about the plot that was set by those in the upper echelon of the kingdom of Darius to try to get him to stop going to his window to pray three times a day and to worship the living God that he had consistently worshiped for all of those decades at this point. And they said, if you don't stop, we are going to throw you in the lion's den. And Daniel said, have your way, bring it on, I'm not for sale. I will not cease to worship my Lord. And these are the trials, these are the difficulties we know. For they did throw him in the den of lions. And the Lord, the Bible says, shut the lions' mouths. They were not hungry. They did not want to taste that young man that served God. This man's spirit was cultivated through trials. These are the things we know about. There's no telling the other trials that this man Daniel dealt with that's not even recorded for us in Scripture. This was a man who had lived through some trials. This was a man, though, that did not allow his trials to damage or destroy his spirit. He allowed the trials to develop his spirit. This was a man who did not allow his trials to corrupt or crush his spirit. It was a man who allowed them to cultivate his spirit. His spirit through all of the trials just got stronger and cultivated in a bigger, in a brighter, in a greater way for the Lord. I think about our trials and I think about our lives and I understand that every one of us have trials and we're fighting battles in life right now. We could go from seat to seat, row to row, and we could hear about the trials that you are facing. We could hear about the battles, the things that are just wearing you down. And the fact is, it doesn't take much at all for us to lose an excellent spirit. Isn't it true today that the only time we really have an excellent spirit is when we know we've got plenty of money in the bank? When we know that we've got another day to go out and work? When we know that we've got health and strength to get us out of bed? When we know that our wife, our husband, our children, all of our family, everybody's healthy, everybody's happy, and everybody's well, that's when our excellent spirit is shining bright. But I tell you what, you let that doctor call one time. You let that boss call you into the office one time. You let that check account go a little bit too low and you get that letter in the mail that says that you've overdrawn your account. You go fill up your car in the gas station at $5 a gallon of gas. You look at 10, 12% by the end of the summer of inflation, and there's going to be a lot of us whose spirits are no longer excellent whatsoever because things just are not going our way. Ladies and gentlemen, if gasoline gets to be $10 a gallon, and it may. If inflation hits 20%, and it may. If the doctor calls and gives us that horrible news, and he, she may. If we find ourselves in a situation where our child is rebelling against the things of God and running out into the world, and they may, or whatever else that it may be in your life, no matter what it is, we have got to allow our spirits to be excellent. They have got to be cultivated through our trials. We've got to be a people who are a steady force out in this world to show Christ to a world that is lost, a world that is dying. Our problems cannot shelter the joy that is unspeakable in our hearts of what the grace of God has done for us in our lives. Daniel was a young man. A man as he grew older, he was a man that through every trial, through the den of lions, through every bit of ridicule, through every bit of stress, through every bit of the peer pressure that he was under, he said, I'm going to let God develop my spirit. And I'm going to have an excellent spirit. I'm going to cultivate it through the trials. May God help every one of us today that are facing and fighting the trials of our life to just determine in our heart we are not going to run around with a frown on our face looking upset because of everything that's just going wrong. Woe is me, whining and crying over everything. If you're saved, you're heaven bound one day. Rejoice in the goodness of God in the middle of it all. Daniel rejoiced in it. there is. We see this truth in His trials and His Spirit. It was cultivated through trials, but you need to understand that it was consistent through time as well. It was consistent through time. Not only were His trials overwhelming, so much more than what you can understand and what I can understand. This man knew what trials really were. And he was cultivating, was God, His Spirit, through trials. And it wasn't just trials that lasted for a little while. These were trials starting in chapter 1 that carried him all the way through to chapter number 6 that took a long, long time. And through it all, His Spirit was consistent through time, cultivated through the trials. We've got to remember that when Daniel was ripped and taken from his home in Jerusalem and to be a slave or a servant in Babylon, he was just in his upper teens, likely. He was just a younger man, had his life ahead of him in his own world, could do whatever that he wanted to do. But when we come right here to the middle part and to the beginning, really, of chapter number 6, even in chapter number 5, Daniel is no longer an young man. He is no longer 17, 18, or 19 years old. He's not even in his 20s or 30s anymore. Daniel now was an old man. The years had passed, the decades had passed, trial after trial had cultivated his spirit for God through trials. He is now an old man. As Belshazzar took the throne, there's no doubt with the death of Nebuchadnezzar that Daniel may have been relieved of his duty in his high position that he had in the Babylonian government. Or either that, or Daniel just willingly stepped away from it. But regardless of which way it was, Daniel here was of retirement age. When we come into the 6th chapter, even when he had his experience with Belshazzar in chapter 5, he would have been of retirement age. As of a matter of fact, as you continue to study the Word of God throughout the remainder of his book of Daniel here, you will learn that it looks like he had devoted the retirement years of his life, the sunset years of his life, to studying the scriptural prophecies. And as you study the Bible and the rest of the book, you will understand that that is the case. By the time that we come to chapter number 6, Daniel would have even been older than, of course, than he would have been in chapter number 5, where we see the second example given to us of him having an excellent spirit. This was an older man now, of retirement age, having his AARP card, getting the senior discount coffee at the McDonald's. He was an older man who still had an excellent spirit, that was cultivated through all of the trials of life. Every day that was stolen from him in captivity, it gave him a reason not to have an excellent spirit. Every insult that was hurled at him from a pagan nation and a pagan people gave him a reason not to have an excellent spirit. Every plot that was set against him from his enemies who were wanting to take him down gave him a reason not to have an excellent spirit. Every gray hair on his head gave him a reason not to have an excellent spirit. Every wrinkle in his face told the story of a reason why he should not have an excellent spirit. Get this, and I want you to get it in your heart right now. Get this in your heart. Through all of his trials, through all of that time, no matter how bad things got, Brother Charlie, Daniel was consistent in having an excellent spirit. It wasn't just a matter of a bad few days or weeks or months or even a few years. We are talking up near to 40 or 50 years of a man having a consistent spirit that was cultivated through trial after trial after trial after trial after trial. But he was consistent through time. His spirit stayed true even when his whole world would regularly fall apart. As a matter of fact, friends, trials and times, they did not only make his spirit a little bit better, But they made his spirit more serious about the things of God. He realized that if you weren't going against the world, you're going with the world. And he was determined he was going to have an excellent spirit in the middle of it all with the peer pressure that came over decades of time. He just did what was right. He took the high road on everything. He said, I will have an excellent spirit. And God took his heart and God saw his heart. And God said, I'm going to cultivate your spirit through trials. And I'm going to give you the ability to be consistent in it through time. All the way to the end. Did you know that if we just simply have a heart that God would take and that God would use, God would give us the ability to have our spirit cultivated through the deepest and the darkest trials of our life. The Spirit of God, through His grace, will do what needs to be done to allow us to be consistent in it as the days, the weeks, the months, the years, and the decades pass. God will give us the ability to have an excellent spirit. He had trial after trial that tore him down. Decade after decade that tore him down. But through trial and through time, Daniel purposed in his heart he would have an excellent spirit. No king that he ever served, no one else in the king's administration that he ever knew, ever saw him have anything but an excellent spirit. He had an excellent spirit. I wonder today if you're honest in your heart, can you say that you have an excellent spirit about you? Did you wake up this morning biting off the head of your wife or your husband? Did you fuss and argue all the way to church? I've said it before, but I always think about it. So oftentimes, we're in the car, and we're just fussing and fighting all the way. We're just a mess, and we step out of the car. Hello, brother. How you doing? It's been a perfect week. God's been so good to me. And your wife is over there saying, who is this, you fraud? And the husband is over there saying, this is not the same person that I just got out of the car, pulled in the parking lot with. Those kids are back there. They're throwing punches at one another. They're walking in just smiling. They've got their dresses on. They've got their jackets on. They've got their ties on. They've got their Bible under their arm. But they've been beating each other up all week long, all the way to church. Do you not understand there's a problem there? We'll see it in just a moment, but there's a problem there. You and I must be consistent through time with an excellent spirit. We must have our spirit cultivated through trials. We cannot allow the trials of life to crush our spirit. We've got to allow them to cultivate them, develop them. Those of us that are just facing what would appear to be the very onslaught of hell in our life today, we need to find us a place down here and say, dear God, on this Sunday morning, I beg of thee, God, would you please, please help me to have an excellent spirit that is cultivated through trials. An excellent spirit that is consistent through time. In Daniel's case, it was also confirmed through testimony. It was confirmed through testimony. If we were to look back to Daniel chapter 5, and if you looked at verses 11 and 12, do you remember how I told you the king, queen mother had made her way into the banquet hall following the moments of the writing on the wall of the hand of God, the fingers of God, writing on the wall? And so the queen mother heard about it. The queen mother knew that there was confusion about it. And her mind immediately went back to this man, Daniel, who had always been faithful, had a consistent witness through the years. Went back to it and said, this man can help this situation. As wicked as Belshazzar was, she still loved him. And she said, I want you to find some help. And she says, here's this man, Daniel. But when she was introducing Daniel, she gives a catalog of the life of Daniel, the testimony that she had consistently witnessed. Remember, this was the queen mother. This would have been the woman who saw him as a young, blonde-headed teenage boy. Still had all of his hair. Still maybe had his teeth. Still had that youthful look. She would have watched him grow through some years. She would have watched this young man cultivate his good spirit, excellent spirit, through trial after trial. She was watching. Decade after decade, she saw that he was consistent through time. She was looking at this young man, and now an older man, and saying, my goodness, there's something so real about him. And she remembered it when this moment came up of the writing on the wall. And I just encourage you today to know this and learn this. There is a world out there watching how you and I handle our trials, wondering if we're really real, wondering if we're going to cultivate our spirit through the trial. And they're watching it. Folks, they're not just going to watch for a day or two. Many of us are living trial after trial, year after year. It just doesn't seem like it's ending. But we must be consistent through time. And that, in the end, will define our testimony. That, in the end, will confirm who we really are for the Lord. And the Queen Mother says, King Belshazzar, this Daniel can help you. And then she gives this list of what his testimony was. If you looked back in those verses, you would see that this queen right here, she said that he was a man of wisdom, like the wisdom of God's knowledge, understanding. She actually, he understood some things, showing of all sentences. That word sentences, speaking of hardness, speaking of determination that this Daniel had, and dissolving of doubt, meaning confidence that he had. Above reproach is what she is referring to. She gave a glowing reference of who this man was. And she did it all based upon the testimony that he had for God through the trials and through the time. This man's been faithful. This man's pointed people to his God every day. And he's proven it. And he's been consistent through it all. All of these conditions that we are seeing here pointed nothing other than to the goodness of God that was manifested through his life and the excellent spirit that God gave to him. When you look at these, all of them combined through the time and through the trials, they developed a testimony. A testimony for God that everybody in Daniel's world could not only see, but they respected. And they even enjoyed watching. They looked at his life. They said, I like looking at how you live your life. Have you ever met anybody before who loves talking about themselves? Yeah, I've met a few. Loves tooting their own horn. You know who those type of folks are? Can't get enough people out there who say anything good about them. So therefore, they take it upon their self. It is their spiritual gift that they are going to say everything good they can about themselves. And have you noticed today, it's not just a verbal thing. They put it on Facebook or social media for everybody to see. This is how great I am. They'll retweet it, tweet it, or whatever the case is. If somebody did say something, that's great about it. Somebody who just toots their own horn, trying to build their own testimony. You see, somebody who does that doesn't have much of a testimony to stand on in the first place. Doesn't have much one to stand on in the first place. Daniel never had to have anybody to talk him up. Or he never had to talk himself up, should I say. Because his testimony did it for him. And it did it in a very loud way. He never had to put on a fake smile. God smiled through him. He never had to go through life and he never had to filter his words. God spoke through him. He never had to force his work, his service to the Lord. God worked through him. He never had to motivate himself to witness for the things of God. God witnessed through him. His excellent spirit, it was real. And it followed him. Everywhere he went, all the days of his life. From the day that he landed in Babylon, which, by the way, he made a decision years and years before, probably as a young boy even, before he was ever taken into captivity, that he was going to do what was right before trials and trouble ever came. And it was sealed in his heart. And he never departed from it. He wasn't for sale. And so therefore, when he got into trials, he allowed his spirit to be excellent. It was cultivated through trials. It was consistent through time. And the world could see how real it was. It was confirmed through his testimony. If you are anything like me, and I imagine in some cases you are, you struggle sometimes with having an excellent spirit. I struggle with it. The trials, sometimes I allow my excellent spirit to be crushed by instead of cultivated. The time and the period that you're in those trials, and as years go on, sometimes we allow our spirits to just be depleted and devastated instead of being developed through years and years of time. I tell you, we struggle with having an excellent spirit, but what we need to understand is this. It does define our testimony. That look on your face and my face, it defines our testimony. People can tell if it's a fake smile. They can tell that. And it's just evidence we don't have an excellent spirit. People can tell if we are in a situation where we're having to try to filter our words constantly. We don't have an excellent spirit. And straight on down the line, people can tell. I so much long to want to be more like this Daniel. And having an excellent spirit, because Daniel was more like Jesus. George Foreman, the legendary fighter, most everyone here knows it, in an interview was quoted as saying these words. He said, "The truth is, my relationship with God is the reason I have such a positive outlook on life. Because I found Christ, before I found Christ, I was blind." How many can say amen right there? He says, "Before I found Christ, I was blind. But when Jesus came into my life, He opened my eyes and started showing me things, good things, that I could have never seen previously. God changed my heart. He altered the way I view everything." Granted, it is possible to think positively without having Jesus in your heart, but without Him, you will never have His lasting perspective on the issues that you are dealing with and the things that you are going through. Foreman went on to say, "For those who have Him, the Lord Jesus, in their life, He has promised already to make something good out of everything that happens to you." That right there, Foreman said, is the reason I can have a positive attitude in every situation of life. An excellent spirit. The world looked at Daniel and they saw an excellent spirit. One by which was cultivated through trial. One by which was consistent through time. Confirmed through testimony. I have no idea why God took us from the little train that could to an excellent spirit this morning. Somebody here, you're like me. You need help with this. And maybe you need to find you a spot down here this morning. And you just need to say, "Dear God, would you show me, please? Teach me, please, how to have an excellent spirit, one of which that will be cultivated through the trials of my life. One of which that will be consistent in time, however long you let me live, and will be confirmed by testimony to the rest of this world. Maybe some of us need to find us a place down here and ask God to show us why we can't and struggle so bad having an excellent spirit. Could it be because you don't even have the Lord Jesus in your heart? You've never given your life to Christ. I'm telling you right now, you will never, never have that long-lasting positive perspective on life until Jesus owns it all. The Word of God has been presented in the most feeble way that this flesh can. And now it's time for you and I to respond appropriately. Rise.